systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
Obscene, dirty, filthy, immoral.
What are you people? On dope?
Welcome to the Jabble. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, 2011, and my name is Matt.
And my name is Danny.
And hello, welcome, episode 469.
Haha. Yay.
The Wednesday night show, thejamhole.com/live, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, is the time we shoot for.
Most of the time.
Sometimes it's a little later, once in a while it's a little earlier, but most of the time it's right in that sweet spot of 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern.
Usually.
Call us live 406-204-4687. And hey, like we said before the show started, people are starting to get their taxes back.
Oh, yeah.
If every listener just gave us $5 out of that, that would be awesome. At least some have given more, and you'll see them on the jamhole.com/donate on the ranking board there, the leaderboard. Looking good.
Fucking A.
Could look better.
Could look a lot better.
Just want to bring it to everyone's attention that Bad Manners is in the lead, just spanking the shit out of these babies. Spanking the shit out of babies. So I want to, real quick, open the show with this. I found this while we were outside smoking, and I read it while I was outside smoking, and it just, I was just like, wow. And I posted it, but I want to read it to you guys. This is kind of interesting. It's from a site called zcommunications.org.
Okay.
It's a gentleman by the name of John Pilger.
Whatever.
He writes, "How the so-called guardians of free speech are silencing the messenger." As the United States and Britain look for an excuse to invade another oil-rich Arab country, the hypocrisy is familiar. Colonel Gaddafi is delusional and blood-drenched, while the authors of an invasion that killed 1 million Iraqis who have kidnapped and tortured in our name and are entirely sane, never blood-drenched, and once again, the arbiters of stability. But something has changed. Reality is no longer what the powerful say it is. Of all the spectacular revolts across the world, the most exciting is the insurrection of knowledge sparked by WikiLeaks. This is not a new idea. In 1792, the revolutionary Tom Paine warned his readers in England that their government believed that, quote, "people must be hoodwinked and held in superstitious ignorance by some bugbear or other."
Damn.
Yeah. Paine's The Rights of Man was considered such a threat to elite control that a secret grand jury was ordered to charge him with, quote, "a dangerous and treasonable conspiracy." Wisely, he sought refuge in France. The ordeal and courage of Tom Paine is cited. Yeah, peace out, guys. You're going
to
kill me? Yeah, no. The ordeal and courage of Tom Paine is cited by the Sydney Peace Foundation in its award of Australia's Human Rights Gold Medal to Julian Assange. Like Paine, Assange is a maverick who serves no system and is threatened by a secret grand jury, a malicious device long abandoned in England but not in the United States. If extradited to the U.S., he is likely to disappear into the Kafkaesque world that produced the Guantanamo Bay nightmare and now accuses Bradley Manning, WikiLeaks' alleged whistleblower, of a capital crime. Should Assange's current British appeal fail against his extradition to Sweden, he will probably, once charged, be denied bail and held incommunicado until his trial in secret.
Probably.
The case against him has already been dismissed by a senior prosecutor in Stockholm and given new life only when a right-wing politician, Claes Borgström, intervened and made public statements about Assange's guilt. Borgström, a lawyer, now represents the two women involved. His law partner, Thomas Bodström, who is Sweden's Minister for Justice in 2001, he was implicated in the handover of two innocent Egyptian refugees to a CIA kidnap squad at Stockholm Airport. Sweden later awarded them damages for their torture.
Huh.
These facts were documented in an Australian parliamentary briefing in Canberra on March 2nd, outlining an epic miscarriage of justice threatening Assange. The inquiry had expert evidence that, under international standards of justice, the behavior of certain officials in Sweden would be considered, quote, highly improper and reprehensible and preclude a fair trial. A former senior Australian diplomat, Tony Kevin, described the close ties between the Swedish Prime Minister, Fredrik Reinfeldt, and the Republican right in the U.S. Quote, Reinfeldt and George W. Bush are friends, he said. Reinfeldt has attacked Assange publicly and hired Karl Rove, the former Bush crony, to advise him. Interesting. The implications for Assange's extradition to the U.S. from Sweden are dire. The Australian inquiry was ignored in the UK, where black farce is currently preferred. On March 3rd, The Guardian announced that Steven Spielberg's DreamWorks was to make, quote, an investigative thriller in the mold of All the President's Men out of his book, WikiLeaks, Inside Julian Assange's War on Secrecy. This guy asked David Lee, who wrote the book with Luke Harding, how much Spielberg had paid The Guardian for the screen rights and what he expected to make personally. Quote, no idea, was the puzzling reply of their investigations editor. The Guardian paid WikiLeaks nothing for its treasure trove of leaks. Assange and WikiLeaks, not Lee or Harding, are responsible for what The Guardian's editor, Alan Rusbridger, calls, quote, one of the greatest journalistic scoops of the last 30 years. The Guardian has made it clear it has no further use for Assange. He is a loose cannon who did not fit Guardian world, who proved a tough, unclubbable negotiator, and brave. In The Guardian's self-regarding book, Assange's extraordinary bravery is excised. He becomes a figure of petty bemusement, an unusual Australian with a, quote, fizzy-haired mother, gratuitously abused as callous and a damaged personality that was, quote, on the autistic spectrum.
Wow.
Wow. How will Spielberg deal with this childish character assassination? On the BBC's Panorama, Lee indulged hearsay about Assange not caring about the lives of those named in the leaks. As for the claim that Assange had complained of a, quote, Jewish conspiracy, which follows a torrent of internet nonsense that he is an evil agent of Mossad, Assange rejected this as completely false in spirit and word. It is difficult to describe, let alone imagine, the sense of isolation and state of siege Julian Assange, who in one form or another is paying for tearing aside the facade of rapacious power. The canker here is not the far right, but the paper-thin liberalism of those who guard the limits of free speech. The New York Times has distinguished itself by spinning and censoring the WikiLeaks material. Quote, we are taking all the cables to the administration, said Bill Keller, the editor. They convinced us that redacting certain information would be wise. In an article by Keller, Assange is personally abused. At the Columbia School of Journalism on February 3rd, Keller said, in effect, that the public could not be trusted with the release of further cables. This might cause a cacophony. The gatekeeper has spoken. The heroic Bradley Manning is kept naked under lights and cameras 24 hours a day. Greg Barnes, Whoa. Director of the Australian Lawyers Alliance, says, the fears that Julian Assange will end up being tortured in a high-security American prison are justified. Who will share responsibility for such a crime?
Nobody.
Amazing, right?
Kept naked in a...
What? Oh, yeah, that's like common practice for, you know, when they want information. All they want him to do is admit, which, honestly, at this point...
Why does it matter?
Why does it matter? Like, you're doing to him whatever you want to anyways, so right. What does it matter if he did or didn't, says he did or didn't? Like, if he admits it, they're going to come out with the videotape of him all busted up and naked and being like, I did it, and then they're going to fucking execute him publicly and be done with it.
Right, and at that point, you'll admit to anything because you just want it basically, to be over.
Basically.
You know?
If we've learned nothing from watching Nikita in 24,
like any
we've
kind
learned,
of torture shit, dude.
That's right, you
By
know?
The time you've reached your fucking wit's end with it, you're just like, okay, fine, I did it, kill me, please.
When Jack fucking Bauer reaches for the lamp and grabs the cable to plug it in with, you know you're effed. You better just tell him whatever. Pretty yeah. scary, though. Like, They're definitely not fucking around anymore.
I guess not.
If they were at all to begin with.
That's funny that it happened a long time ago, too.
Yeah, well, it's always ongoing. I just love the intro of that, like, another excuse to invade another oil-rich Arab country. It's so awesome.
That's so crazy, dude. It's just funny.
And that's way true. Like, we're all, like, watching Gaddafi and watching him, you know, be all blood-soaked. And, like, mm-hmm. our leaders have done the same for so long, but it's, you know, it's okay. This is fine. This is us. Right. It's us. It's hey, come on.
Whatever.
Give me a hand. Come on. Blah. All right. Well, let's move on to some news that everyone cares about.
All right.
So, you know, the other day we just kind of briefly mentioned Charlie Sheen, and then yeah. we watched the documentary.
Oh,
or not documentary,
God.
But what was that? An interview?
I guess. Whatever.
We watched the interview. You think he is not sober.
I don't think he's sober.
I think he's sober, and not just because he pass the drug test. Like, you can pay any of your guys that are there, be like, here, I will give you 10 grand to watch us party but mm-hmm. not do drugs, and then, you know,
right?
So that's, I mean, you can fake that all day, especially if you're him. It's not like they're there watching him, you know, like right. pissing the cup, you know.
It's Charlie fucking Sheen, man.
Honestly, when I watched that interview, I really thought that he was pulling that thing that other dude pulled and been like, oh, I'm addicted to drugs and I'm a rapper now. Joaquin Phoenix?
I don't know.
It kind of seemed like about. That's what he was doing. Like, oh, I'm going to kill myself
maybe
any day now. You guys all better watch. You better tune in.
Well, maybe he might be sober, but it looks like he's going through some serious withdrawal or something, because he's sweaty, he's twitchy, he's really talkative and, like, veers off of topic. Like, every other fucking word.
But he's also an actor. Like, how do you know when... Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's Charlie Sheen,
know.
You know?
But he seems like he's nuts, dude. Like, really.
The flow of thought patterns that was coming out...
Sounds like a fucking crackhead,
very erratic.
Dude.
But that's what I'm saying. Is he playing that? Is he playing?
I don't think so.
Just, you think that's genuine?
Yeah. I
Berger
think
says
he
think
you
think. Go ahead.
I think he got burnt out on some kind of methamphetamine or, you know.
I don't think that's
speed.
Possible. This gentleman has tiger blood running through his veins.
Well,
who else do we
tigers
know?
Tigers can OD on who, fucking
I don't know. Who else do we know that has tiger blood running through their veins? This guy. You can't OD. I'm telling you. I've tried. It's
well,
impossible.
That guy looks like he's come close a few times, and
maybe
hasn't fully come back yet.
Nolly's Undead says drugs don't show up when you have a dose DNA. A des? What is that? I don't know. Sheen is on a mission to become the coolest motherfucker ever, and that's yeah, right.
Yeah, he's
winning.
So cool. I totally want to look like that.
Winning all the time. I saw on Twitter someone posted that they were going to give up losing for Lent. Pound winning. So awesome.
Oh, dude.
And so, okay, after we saw that, I saw something in this man that I was like, man, that would be really cool to, like, go down there and just be like, dude, I know what you're going through. I've been there. Like, let's make some money. And so the next day, like, I decided to follow him on Twitter just to, like, see what's all going on, of course. And so the next day, I see that he's like, hey, want to be my intern? Come fill this thing out. And I was like, I acted like he posted that right to me. I was like, yes, Charlie, I'm coming. And I fucking
God,
went there. I was at work. I hopped on the computer because I couldn't fill it out on my phone because
like,
the
Charlie
site wouldn't
Sheen,
work.
Oh my God.
And so I applied for that. And I was kind of like, I was making plans, you know, I was like, this is going to be great. We're going to get down there. We're going to start the Charlie Sheen podcast. I'm going to handle all the social networking stuff, do drugs all day and just get fucking paid bank, have sex with porn stars. It was going to be awesome. And then so like 2 days later, I'm buzzing on this. And then I see this fucking bullshit story that says more than 70,000 people apply to be Charlie Sheen's intern.
That's fucking retarded.
Bubble completely bursted. Thank you, internet. Thank you very much. I don't think any of them wrote what I wrote, though. I have what it takes.
What now? What was this thing you had to fill out?
You
was
had
it,
to
like,
go
a
to
whole,
this
like,
site
application.
Yeah, and you basically you had 75 characters to say why you should be the intern. And then on March 14th, they're going to announce the 10 winners, and then they're going to pick one or some shit. I don't
okay.
know. And so I wrote, I am a fucking computer. I'm a web, a 30-year-old web geek from Montana with tiger blood running through my veins, and I never lose. It was so perfect. And right, it was exactly 75 characters. It was, oh.
That's awesome.
So I'm in there with 74,039 other people. And we'll see what happens.
I think he's going to pick somebody a little closer to him.
Think
probably.
I have a good chance? I don't know, though. Montana may be just what this gentleman needs.
I don't know, man. I doubt. I highly doubt that you're going to be in the top 10.
And Berger has a good point. He says, and now his tweet, he thinks, I think it is BS. All it is a job for filling out his tweets. Yeah, it's like a web 2.0 social network, handle all of his online media, basically, which is pretty much what I do for us. And
right.
So. And Berger says his tweets are getting fucking stupid. Most of them are ads now. So someone's making some money.
Probably. I mean, dude, it's Charlie Sheen. Come on. I mean, if his show had got canceled or whatever, and now someone's, whoever it was, what was it, like WB or something like that, is paying for,
I don't know,
the half of a season or some shit. That's, I don't know.
So this is awesome. It says, when asked about any potential risks associated with working for Sheen, who has in recent days waved a machete around from a rooftop and bragged about, quote, banging 7-gram rocks of drugs the rep demurred, we always encourage candidates to research the company and position they're applying for. And that's what I'm saying. Like, no one is prepared to deal with that except for me. Like, I can handle that. He's banging 7-gram rocks. That's fine. I'm right there with you banging 7-gram rocks. Because we win. That's what we do. We would be on the podcast banging 7-gram rocks and porn stars at the same time. And you'd be in the sidelines going, that's my man. I'm so proud. You wouldn't even care. I would give you $1 million and you'd be like, banging what? I don't even care anymore.
I would still care.
I'm going to go spend this.
Sorry, I'd still care.
I'm
going to
go spend all of this.
I'm sorry, dude. I don't care how much money you give me. I would still fucking care.
Really?
Yes, right. Really.
Well,
you can't buy me off, dick face.
You sure?
Oh, here, let me give you money so I can fuck what I want.
Check this.
No.
$1 million and a 7-gram rock, huh?
No.
Huh?
No.
That's what I'm talking about.
No.
Huh?
No. Sorry, I'll take that shit, but I still don't want you fucking other chicks. Sorry, dude.
He's probably going to die soon, so let's all enjoy our time with him.
That's just what I fucking need. You to be an intern of some fucking...
I know, right?
Some fucking actor that has two goddesses living in his house and talks about being in 7-gram rocks. Yeah, cool. I really need you to go and fucking hang out with that.
7-gram rocks.
You really need to go hang out with that.
What is that like? I just want a chance to experience what that's like at least once before I die.
Yeah, that'll be once.
I think this new album's going to do it. This new album is going to catapult both of us into hip hop stardom.
That'd be nice.
They're good.
Just why do you do that though?
Do what?
Let's talk
rap,
banging other chicks.
Know.
Why?
Oh,
do
you're
that?
Still on that. We've moved on.
But why do you do that?
Try to keep up.
But
with
why
the
do
show.
You do that?
Because that's what Charlie does.
You even brought it up before the show.
It's the tiger blood. I can't help it.
Just stop that. Why do you want to sleep with somebody
else?
I'm not
in control of my actions when the tiger blood is coursing.
Which is and you always talk about banging other girls.
Dude, when you got the nine-tailed fox, like, trapped inside of your chi, all you can do is bang chicks. I'm sorry. That nine-tailed fox is just, it's like a nine-dicked fox, I think. I have the testosterone. That's 9 dicks, that's 18 set of balls, just pumping testosterone through
seriously,
my tiger blood-filled
if
body.
If you have to fuck a bunch of women,
oh yeah, bad
to
manners
be happy,
says, because he has a penis, duh.
If you have to fuck a bunch of chicks to be happy,
I'm happy, come on.
And you can't just be happy with me.
Look at me, I'm happy.
That sucks.
We're happy.
Okay.
Look at us communicating.
And that really fucking sucks, and I won't deal with that, dude. I really won't.
You know what really sucks?
I will not share my fucking man with anybody.
Okay. You know what really sucks and how we know the end times are upon us? You
sure.
know that date's coming up. Remember when we talked about Rapture Ready and that other dude about it wasn't going to be 2012. It was right. going to be May. What was it? May
something.
21st, 2011. Was that it?
Yeah,
check.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere
yeah,
in the
yeah.
forums. What was it? May 21st.
I
That's
think
coming
so.
Up.
Yeah.
This.
At least I get to turn 25.
This is a perfect metaphor, and you guys have to see these pictures. This is pretty fucking mind-blowing, but this is kind of a metaphor for us, okay? Think about us as humanity as a whole when I read this to you, okay? Ready? Millions of sardines created a massive stink and an even bigger cleanup effort in Redondo Beach's King Harbor Marina after they swam inside overnight, became trapped, and then died. Millions of sardines. Like, look at the picture. It's pretty crazy. 12 to 18 inches of dead sardines blanketed the water's
wow.
bottom in Basin 1 off Marina Way. Another thick layer of dead fish coated the surface from the break wall to the inner docks surrounding boats and walkways. Authorities with the California Department of Fish and Game, along with other ocean biologists at the scene, declared the mass death a natural event. The fish, they said, sucked every drop of oxygen from the water and couldn't breathe. They are in every slip and every dock, he said. It's a whole lot of fish. Thank you.
Wow. So, like...
So, that's
it
us,
it wasn't, like,
right?
red tide or anything. It
nope.
was just they
nope.
sucked all the oxygen out of the water.
Nope. So, that's like, us, really. Right? We just... We're on this earth, and we're gonna just suck up every last drop of whatever we can, and then we're all gonna just die like that.
Pretty much.
Okay.
I could see that.
Pretty amazing.
I could see that happening.
Those who chose other basins were fine. Apparently they were... It was a huge school of them, and they were maybe blown in by the night's 40-mile-per-hour winds and crashing waves. They swam into the harbor, became disoriented. Those who chose other basins were fine, but the schools that headed into Basin 1... backed themselves into a corner and were unable to find their way out. They quickly depleted the oxygen in the water and then died. Quote, if they turned right instead of left, they'd all be fine. It's just bad luck. Well, if the fish had GPS like we do.
Oh, yeah.
Turn
totally.
Left. What?
What?
Oh, fuck. What? Back up. Oh, shit. Oh. Can you imagine all of them just... We're going, okay, guys, we're going to need to back this up.
Right.
I can't, is it getting hot in here? I can't breathe. Okay, seriously, guys.
I'm going to start floating now.
I'm going to float now.
Just going to float
Could
for
you
a while.
Imagine, like, being in the front of that school of a million, just like...
Trying to turn around.
Just chilling, and then, like, being like,
dive,
oh, fuck.
Dive, dude. Dive.
Oh, fuck. There were so many of them, though. They
yeah.
couldn't. Like, it was full.
Just be like, coming through, coming Nolly's, through.
Nolly Zendead says, Charlie Sheen spilled a drop of his blood into the water and the tiny fish brains could not handle the awesome.
Oh,
is Chuck Norris going to have to...
I was
going
to say, I'm like, is he...
Is Chuck going to have to kick Charlie's ass or try to?
Is Charlie Sheen the
is
new
that,
Chuck Norris?
Is that going to be what ends up happening on May 21st, 2011? Charlie versus Chuck. The apocalypse.
Yeah.
Dun, dun.
The world just explodes.
Watch it on pay-per-view. Yeah. God, that would be epic.
Fuck yeah.
So, let's see. They said, yeah, they should have took left at Albuquerque. The water was all drained of its oxygen. They tested it. Said that's what it was. So, yep.
It's kind of
weird.
And
they all died, and that pretty much sucks.
It's really
we
weird,
go.
Though. Like,
it's genocide. All right,
like,
now, much like the fish, let's continue. This is so awesome. Darwin
the fish
Award.
Didn't continue, just saying.
Well,
they
right,
died,
they
so
died. But these kids also died. So say you're sorry, because that was a good
sorry,
segue.
Fine, go ahead.
Palmyra, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Police say a car carrying four Pennsylvanian high school football players, okay, so already starting out on the low end of the gene pool.
Got a bunch of jocks.
They were going at least 80 miles an hour when their car crashed, killing them all. Investigators say text messages sent shortly before the crash, this happened back in January, indicated the teens planned on speeding and then jumping a dip in the road. Hmm? We've all done this. 80 miles an hour, maybe a bit fast. I jumped my Elantra once with my girlfriend at the time. She was in it, and we were going down. It was down over, if you guys are local, on Evergreen, by where Evergreen School is there. There's those train tracks. Back in the day, those tracks weren't nice and smooth. They went like this.
They all fucked up.
They went like that, and then they went back down. And we took the Elantra in it doing about 65, 70 and hit that thing and fucking launched. Like, I was like, oh, fuck.
Nolly says, LOL, let's jump that ditch.
Send. Oh, fuck. 16-year-olds John Griffith and Cody Hollinger and 15-year-olds Nicholas Bryson and Devon Lee died when their car went sideways and was struck by another vehicle. Darwin Awards all the way around.
That sucks.
The teens had left a breakfast for Manheim Central School football players shortly before the crash. Police are investigating whether the teens were recording a video at the time of the crash. If they were, I really hope I can either watch it here or on Tosh.0. Either or.
Right.
I'm pretty happy with...
There's no web redemption for that.
That stand-up special was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I wasn't sure how well he would do at stand-up, but...
He did it pretty much he just like it. The show, you know.
Yeah,
just
no screen.
Right.
Done well, though, for sure.
I think he did good.
You guys all need to email him and be like, you need to get on this show. Because I've contacted them. We're working on it. You guys need to also make it look like it's going to be worth his while to come talk to us. Otherwise, I don't know.
So everybody,
and we also might
have
a special guest Friday that for you guys. So I'm not for sure yet, but.
So you don't want to say it yet?
No, I don't, because if it doesn't happen, I don't want everyone
everybody
to be like,
all
well, fuck him, because he's cool. If it doesn't happen, then, you know. So I'd just rather.
He's really cool.
For sure.
Probably the biggest person we've had on the
so
show,
far.
If we have him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The most famous.
Really? I don't.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Matt Besser is pretty famous. He started the UBC. That's pretty. I mean, I don't think a lot of people know that, but they know who the UBC is.
This is something that's really well known, and a lot of it's really out
there.
Great,
thank you.
Dude. Who doesn't know of that thing? Okay.
Okay. So, jump your car, gonna die. Also,
what
if you fuck around in grain bins? Probably also gonna die. Grain bin deaths are hitting a record here.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because you know where grain bins are mostly? It had hurt us. Derp, derp, derp.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
So, like, what happened? Like,
so, three young workers
drowned in grain?
Dude, this also going up on my list of ways I do not want to die, along with burning and asphyxiation, drowning, all that, so...
You just don't want to die.
Well, no, I'll die. I don't give a fuck, but I don't want to, like, I don't want to die that way.
You just want to die in your sleep all nice and happy?
Or shot or whatever, but not, I don't want to suffocate. That would be the worst.
Dude, I had, like, the most horrible fucking dream the other day. I woke up, like, freaking out, and even after I woke up and knew I was dreaming and I sat down for a little bit, I was still kind of crying. I was crying about this dream because I was so freaked out. Like, my emotions in my dream were so fucking just all over the place. Even not dreaming, I was still freaking out about it. It was like some kind of like mafia people took over the town and shit, and they had a list of people that weren't on their side or whatever, and they were going out to fucking capture all of them. And I was trying to help one of our friends that we know. He was in a truck, and there was another guy fucking, like, trying to get him and, like, doing some, torture shit.
Real quick, is anybody following this? I'm sorry. Go ahead. Torture, right. Get to the part where you get shot.
Anyway, whatever. So they end up killing people, and then they're trying to fucking get me and you, and they wanted to shoot us and hang us.
Wait,
on the
me?
Lakeside.
You didn't you say I me. Was in this. Now I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I was crying my eyeballs out because I didn't want to lose you, and they were trying to shoot you. And
why were they shooting
you.
Me?
Because we weren't a part of their fucking little group.
What was their group? Were they religious?
I said it was a mafia fucking gang type people that took over the town, and they were trying to kill people that weren't a part of their gang.
Or mafia? Macchiato says she was being sent to a concentration camp. Was it?
I don't know. It was really weird, though. Like, they ended up fucking chaining up some dude's car and fucking, like, pulling it up, and like the guy died in it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
just
really crazy.
Just wrecking shit.
But like, I was so freaked out of the fact that they were gonna kill us. Like, they were, it was so real. Like, they were going
Why
to
didn't
fucking
we
kill
get
us.
Guns and kill them back.
Cause we didn't have guns.
If that would have been my dream, that's how that would have went down.
Well, I was running to find you.
Where was I?
In the house hiding.
Oh, was I?
Yeah.
See, again, your dream. Not a very accurate representation of reality or truth.
I don't know. It was really scary, dude. Like, I freaked the fuck out because I woke up and I was like, oh my God, they're going to kill Matt and they're going to kill me. And, like, I was just like.
Yeah, see, bad manners says you just have an arsenal in your dream, like all Matrix-y and shit. See, I have an arsenal in my dream world that we would have went to first. We would have locked and loaded. Then we would have uploaded.
I don't know. It was just, that's the way my dream happened. I don't know. I have guns, too. I don't know why my dream didn't have guns in it.
Hey,
okay?
Fuck off, Burger. That wasn't my dream.
I'm sorry. Whatever.
It says Matt hiding. What a fucking pussy. Yeah. I was hiding because I was like, fuck, I wish this was my dream. This kind of sucks. She's getting us killed. What the fuck?
It's not my fault. It was the mafia people's fault. They just didn't like us.
Well, these kids, back to the story here. Wyatt Whitebread. He's 14. Wyatt Whitebread.
White what?
Wyatt.
Wyatt.
Like Wyatt Earp.
Uh-huh.
Whitebread.
Wyatt like Whitebread.
Wonder.
Wyatt Whitebread.
He's retarded. 14. He started screaming as the colonels moved past his chest, up his chin, and over his head within a matter of seconds.
Awesome.
Could you imagine that? Oh man, I'd be freaking.
Yeah.
Like I said in the chat, I would be like freaking out, imagining Orville Redenbacher's just maniacal laugh.
It's like, that's like quicksand, man.
Yeah,
like,
that's
you're
what
going
they were
down.
Saying in the chat. Like, that's, you're fucked pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that, there's like no doors or anything in those, right? So once, uh-uh. Even if you held your breath till you got to the bottom, or no, you would just stop eventually, right? You wouldn't go all the way to the bottom of it. You would go down until there was an equal amount of grain above and below you, right? You would hit that equilibrium.
I guess.
Or would you go to the bottom? No. No, because you wouldn't displace anymore once there was as much on top of you. As there is, yeah, so you wouldn't. That would be crazy. You would
Why
just be like
randomly.
Why
wasn't anybody there to pull him out?
There was. Then you would just be randomly stuck in the middle of it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Here they have a diagram of a grain bin accident. Here, check this out. I'll give you guys a link. Here's exactly how it goes down. As grain exits the bottom of the bin, it creates a suction that draws the worker in like quicksand. In about 20 seconds, the worker is buried. Grain enters from bin above, worker sinks in grain flow goes down and then out right. Grain can clump together at the top of the pile, allowing a gap to form beneath. A worker walking on this temporary bridge can fall through and get sucked into the grain. Well, why are you walking on the
right?
Grain? What?
Why would you do that?
And then a steep. These are the different.
Rope tied
to
your ass.
I'm sorry. I understand. These are different kinds of grain accidents. So the first one was flowing grain buries the worker, and that's how it flows out and it makes it like quicksand. And you fall.
Okay.
The other one is the bridged grain collapses. So you're walking on it collapses. The other one is called the steep grain collapses, and that's when large piles of grain that accumulate on the side of the bin collapse on top of a worker who is trying to break them up. Thus smothering him.
Break it up from up top, you dumbass.
In 06, there were 24 deaths, or 24 in accidents total. 12 fatal, 12 non-fatal. In 07, there was 15 fatal, 18 non-fatal. 08, 15 fatal, 19 non-fatal. 09, 16 fatal, 22 non-fatal. Not a good year. And in 10, 26 fatal, 25 non-fatal. So from 09 to 10, we went from 38 to 51. Good job, guys.
Damn. Jesus.
Grain safety. So the kid, he's screaming. He goes down. Quote, "We're going to die, Alex." He jumped into the sinkhole to try to pull white bread out. "Hold on," responded Will, who had rushed to the boys' aid on the other side. He said, "Help is coming soon," but rescue came too late. Pacus and White Bread, who perished that sweltering day in July in Mount Carroll, Illinois, inspiring renewed concern by regulators over grain bin accidents. A little-known, perilous workplace hazard in farm country, including some parts of Collier counties surrounding Chicago. Last year, like we were saying, 51 men and boys were engulfed by grain stored in towering metal structures that dot rural landscapes. 26 died. Highest number on record. So
they need to have, like, bungee cords attached to their asses when they fuck with that stuff so they can just get yanked out.
Or, like,
out.
What do you... Why are you in there? Get out of there.
Right.
What
do I mean, like, shouldn't you have, like, a step thing on, like, the brim you can break it up from up top? Or, like...
I don't know.
Yeah, why are you in there?
Huh.
I don't get it.
So, in less than 10 seconds, a man who steps into flowing corn can sink up to his chest, becoming immobilized. Within another 10 seconds, he'll be completely submerged and unable to breathe, essentially drowning in corn. "Damn you, corn!" Nellis and Ted says Jiffy Pop, the silent killer.
That's
what Berger said. Why not have a climber's harness? You would think that would be an OSHA violation. Not in farm country, apparently.
Guess not.
Accidents can occur when someone enters a bin to break up clumps that form when grains are moist and have started decomposing. The 2009 corn crop was a particularly wet one, leading to more stuck together grain than usual. In turn, that caused more workers to go into the grain bins in 2010 as the crop was removed, exposing them to the potential danger. So that's why it went up, because that's like pretty dramatic increase.
Yeah.
But it was just because your crop was weak or wet.
It sucks.
And that sucks. Like, we have to do that with our salt tanks, because sometimes the salt will solidify and it'll bridge up, and so there's no more...
But they're not that big that you have to get in it.
Some of them are,
to where you could drown in it?
Yeah, just like the ones that are in car washes.
Oh.
They're that big. But nowhere near the size of grain towers. I'm talking as far as, like, regular softener tanks go. Like, we have some big ones that I could get in and we could fit, you know, 10 people in.
Could you
die
in it?
Like, big ones. No, because the salt is heavier than, like, corn and stuff. Like, you can stand on top of a pile of salt.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
in
I
those.
Guess,
I've
yeah.
stood on them before. Like, oh. you can't. But if you stand on corn, you just go. You know, it's not that dense and it just separates and there you go. But the salt, it's hard on there. It's like, you know, it's hard. It's salt.
And if salt gets wet, so, it's like
that's
way
pretty
hard.
Crazy, though. I didn't know that. Fucking killing our Midwest star sports players and
Woo!
Shit. Just like,
oh my God,
taking
yeah.
them out
because they were going to be the next president.
They could, well, not president, but maybe, you know, Kobe Bryant or something.
Maybe like governor of
getting,
this shithole town.
Getting killed trying to jump cars in dips and grain mills. Get killed in grain mills. And yeah, to answer Berger's question, OSHA stepped in, they stepped up inspections of grain elevators in Illinois and other states after the accident in Mount Carroll, located in the far northwest corner of Illinois. A number of facilities are just outside Chicago, including 12 in this, there's just a bunch in all these different counties. Okay. None of us care about that, so.
Yeah, well, that sucks for them, they're going to keep reproducing anyway, so we're not having a shortage of hit ahead of herders.
No,
okay.
No worries there. All right. Are you ready to have a death associated with salvia?
Sure.
It finally happened. I was wondering when this was going to happen. And
dude, a hit of that shit and you'll do some dumb shit. So I would
honestly. And okay, Nollies and Dead says brings a whole new meaning to the phrase cornholing. Okay, no more corn jokes.
Okay.
We're good. Thank you, guys.
That was corny.
Okay, seriously, now no more corn jokes starting now.
Okay.
So this kid, he smoked some salvia, and then he jumped off his balcony.
Okay.
The father of a film student is wanting, he's on a, basically, a rampage to get it illegalized.
Well, of course.
Because his kid,
right.
I mean, my girlfriend at the time when we did the salvia experiment video, she pissed her fucking pants, and we all laughed. Like, she wasn't like, ah, criminalize salvia.
Right,
I mean,
right.
She didn't die or anything, but it's still, you know.
It's on the internet forever.
And what I don't get, you guys have to see this. Look at the poll on this page. It looks, I don't know, something doesn't read right. And it says drug debate. Should the government legalize salvia? Yes, it's a natural plant that isn't dangerous. No, it's very potent and its effects are still largely unknown, or I don't know. Salvia is legal. So should the government legalize it? Like, that just seemed weird to me. I don't know.
That's weird. It is legal.
So this guy says, I would like to have it illegalized because of the effect it causes and the loss of life. Which I think, as far as I know, this is the first one, but I could be wrong. He says he'll do everything in his power to get this thing out of the market. They say, quote, we can't do anything until something happens. Well, something happened. It cannot be legal anymore, he said. Ryan Santana, 21, was hanging out Sunday with his ex-girlfriend, Benazir Bilani. What?
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. On his bedroom balcony, smoking the hallucinogenic substance. Bilani said he then lay down on his stomach, pretending to swim like an animal on the 15th floor balcony. He stared at me, but it was like he wasn't seeing me. It was just a blank stare, she said. Then he jumped. He just ran and hopped over the fence, she said. He had no idea who he was or what he was doing. Salvia, a member of the mint family that provides a quick, potent high and is legal in New York, made headlines in December when Miley Cyrus was caught smoking it on video. But Santana's father says people don't know that it's dangerous. People that have smoked it before and not fucking died, we know.
I know. That shit fucks my head
up. Up and away. What? Where are you going? Get back in here.
And that's, dude, I can't believe that stuff is legal.
This kid was a film producer. I know, right? And weed's not.
I know.
Like, seriously? If you guys want to just flip-flop those two?
The effects of weed are way lesser than salvia.
I would be happy if you guys wanted to just flip-flop those two.
Yeah.
Legalize weed, make salvia illegal. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
If I want to trip, I'll do shrooms, you know? I mean,
salvia's
I've done salvia quite
that
a bit.
That fucks you
but
up.
It
doesn't last very long. It gives you a weird headache afterwards.
It's not a
it's
high
weird.
That I like.
No, dude, it's weird. It's really displacent.
And,
I don't like it.
Bad Manners says on the poll, 27% yes, 59% no, 14% I don't know. Ryan Santana was a film production student at the Art Institute of New York City. Well, fuck. Now, he was like the only one. Shit. Now what are we gonna do?
Oh my god.
If only New York City had one more film production student at the Art Institute.
<Right? laughs>
Okay, no loss. I'm sorry. To his family, I'm sure it's a loss, but...
Well, yeah.
In the great scheme of film pro students, you know, no worries.
Yeah.
He says, quote, I want people to know that he was a happy person. Santana had no history of mental problems, police sources said. His death is being investigated as a possible suicide, and the city medical examiner said the initial autopsy was inconclusive. Huh. I'm going to guess probably not suicide.
Probably
I don't know.
Not. Well, drug-induced suicide? I don't
know. No, that's not suicide, though. Suicide indicates willfully taking your own life. That
right.
was... Honestly, what
buy.
It... Well, no, honestly, what it... The technical charge should be involuntary manslaughter on the substance. Like, that would technically be the charge, because it was the substance involuntarily causing him to jump out of the window. It didn't make him do it on purpose, and not everyone that takes
right.
a substance does that,
it's
but
like the,
in that
the intent
exactly,
of the drug you smoke
exactly.
and you kill yourself.
But it's not suicide, so it's kind of like It's like a secondary, once removed, involuntary manslaughter, Your Honor.
Okay.
So.
I understand that.
That's the first one, I think, isn't it? I'm hive mind. Is that the first one? I'm pretty sure it's the first
one. I'm pretty sure. It's the first one we've read about.
No, see, on the other hand, I don't agree that that should be made illegal because of that. Because, like they point out in the chat, this is used in not religious rituals. I mean, I guess it is used in religious rituals, but it's used on, like, vision quests and, like, spiritual enlightenment and stuff. So if you say because this one kid took it and went a little bonkers and jumped out a window and killed himself, so now you're going to take it away from all of these other people that are actually enlightening and opening their minds by using it, not the right way, but using it, what's the word?
Using recreationally?
It, sure, but in control, using it, you know, properly or whatever. They're doing it in controlled settings and not on fucking 16th floor balconies.
Well, it just depends, you know, on balconies. In all honesty, dude, okay, it doesn't...
Yeah, like Macchiato says, if not used like a douchebag. There you go.
You just gotta think about what type of drug it is and what type of person it is.
It's like alcohol. Not everyone should drink. Not everyone should eat
shrooms. Some people, when they drink, they're a happy drunk. Other people get really pissed off and fucking kill people.
I've turned many people away that were like, I want a trip. And you talk to them for a minute and you're like, you're not...
Yeah, you're not stable. Yeah,
you can't do that.
Right, so he might have just had a bad mind frame, you know, and fucking smoked the shit and went to a bad place, you know.
Yeah, you need to do it on like Bad Manner says, controlled setting equals ground floor. Exactly.
Right.
So, yeah, I hate, though, the fact that we blame the drug for the behavior.
Right.
When not, I mean, I guess maybe once in a while you can make that argument, but I would say more times than not, it's the individual.
It's their choice.
It's the drug acting on the individual's already pre-existing short circuit thought, you know. And then that's what you end up getting out of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know how to put it.
Don't blame the drugs.
No, don't blame the drug.
Okay, this one now.
And went to the wrong place.
Maybe this one you can blame the drug, okay? This is out of Naples. I want you all to take a gander at this lovely, delicate flower of a woman. An intoxicated, naked Naples woman. Naked, okay.
Oh, wow.
Threw stones at people and her teeth into a canal Saturday night. Deputies responded to a call of a woman who was drunk, naked, throwing rocks at people and calling them names in the Bayshore area of Naples about 8 p.m. When they arrived, they found Tina Belinda Masta, who's 46, sitting on the dock near her home with a blanket wrapped around her. She then turned toward the deputies, took off her blanket, and exposed herself to them.
Look at my junk!
She was singing. Masta then... She had taken some of her teeth out, right? And then threw them into the canal. And she told the deputies... What? She told deputies Masta kept picking at her teeth and asked to use some pliers. After she was arrested, neighbor brought her clothes. The male deputy helped dress her the best he could. You know, I tried. Her pants are on her top, but whatever.
Okay.
Witnesses said Masta cursed and at three men, threw rocks at them, pulled her clothes off, threatened to beat them up, then tried to break a light and wooden fence, and she reeked profusely of alcohol. So
that's awesome.
A lovely alcohol drunk story. Forever.
Ugh, dude.
46 years old.
I feel sorry for those three policemen who had to see that.
46. Oh, God. Could you imagine?
Or, like, having to, you know, like...
Let's make a deal. You put your clothes back on, and I won't tase the shit out of you.
Well, like, they're having to have to, you know, contain her.
Touch her?
Yeah. While she's
at the very least.
Naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Wrestle with that.
Her head, like, constantly going near your crotch. Like, get away. No! Stop it! Get away from there.
Like.
Just constantly, like, trying to suck you off. Just drunk.
What?
Mess. Just get away from me, right?
Sure.
Stop throwing rocks at me. Put your fucking clothes on and go home.
Put your teeth back in.
And put get your fucking teeth. What are you doing?
That's pretty nasty.
Now, is this the alcohol that does that? Because it does it to everyone, right? Whereas salvia, that doesn't happen to everyone that takes it. But with alcohol, if you drink enough of it, you will eventually get to the point where you're naked, spitting your teeth out at people.
No.
No? Okay. No.
Nah.
Maybe she has a little pre-existing...
Probably. She was probably pissed off at something and started getting drunk, and that's what happened. She was like, I'm going to fucking get mad, throw stuff, or whatever. Hmm?
So it is the alcohol.
Well, she was probably upset before she started drinking it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And just drinking it and, you know, enhanced her fucking... emotions. And
so basically, if you're going to change your mind state, you have to start off in a somewhat decent mind state. Otherwise, you will change into
a douche.
Dr. Jekyll.
Right.
Dr. Douche.
Dr. Douche.
Dr. Dick Douche.
Dr. Dick.
That's douche. My name.
I don't. I've gotten wicked drunk and didn't end up naked throwing my teeth at people. So.
Could you imagine just, like, throwing your teeth at people?
I have woken up in a pool of my own vomit.
Of course you have.
It was not good.
No?
No.
Not good at all?
Not at all.
Not a positive experience in your life?
No.
Huh.
No, because I realized that I did not only vomit on myself, but all over my friend's wall.
But
yeah, it was great.
All right. When you die, what are people going to find in your house? Like, what are you going to be, what's your story going to be written up as? Like, they pulled out, like, 800 cats and dead mice and dead, like, feces everywhere. What's your story? Macchiato says porn. Sure. A lot of porn just stacked up over the years.
Drugs.
Probably. Unused drugs. Needles
and
laying around
you'll
everywhere.
You'll find, like, you know...
crack cocaine.
You'll find evidence that I did a lot
dead
of drugs.
Dead hookers. Okay, sure.
I won't find any drugs, especially if I'm dead. That means I did it all.
Bad Matters says, I puked on a Corvette that was below me while I was on the overhead expressway.
Oh my God, dude.
Top down or up? That's pretty awesome. All right, so this lady, Gladys? Hi, words? Gladys Jean Bergmeier. She was known by her neighbors to be a pack rat who filled her house with plants and plastic bags stuffed with a mix of important papers and trash. Outdated newspapers and magazines were piled throughout her house. Nearly 3 weeks after the 75-year-old was found dead, a relative found a surprise.
And what was that?
The mummified remains of an elderly woman, presumably
Whoa.
Bergmeier's long unseen mother, Gladys Stansbury.
Whoa.
So that's where I put that. I was looking for that.
Dude, that's like that fucking episode of CSI.
Like 8 years go by and you're like, you know who I haven't seen in a while? Mom.
Right.
Where's Mom?
Seriously, where Nick Stokes steps into the fucking body.
Yep.
In the warden's house? Dude, ugh.
Police and Gwen Hagen, a forensic investigator. Police and Nick Stokes, a forensic investigator with the CSI Vegas County's examiner's office, said it is unknown how long the remains had been in the home. Neighbors said they didn't even know Bergmeier's mother had been living with her. How'd that get there? Quote, it's just shocking, said Gussie Harrison, who lives across the street from the home where Bergmeier lived for more than 35 years and took her neighbor in for several months after a fire at Bergmeier's home years ago. Hey, come live here with me.
Oh, yeah.
You and all your weird stuff.
Right.
You have a lot of stuff. Harrison said she became concerned about Bergmeier during Super Bowl weekend because her neighbor normally kept a light on in her home, but there had been none on the night of February 6th. The next day, she called, letting the phone ring 17 times. She waited to
make... You don't have voicemail?
I know, right?
The fuck? Who lets their phone ring that long?
She waited to make another... It was actually a telegraph.
Oh, okay.
Right. Dateline. 1863.
Right.
Dead body found after Super Bowl Sunday.
Did they have Super Bowl back then?
No.
I didn't think so.
The next day, she said she called, letting the phone ring a bunch of times. She waited until after The Young and the Restless, which she watched religiously. After still not making contact, she called one of the relatives. The cops came, found her dead in the home, dressed in a nightgown in her bed. She was a very nice, sweet lady. Harrison said she didn't seem like she could hurt a fly. So then they looked around and found
a dead body.
Little dead body there. Yeah. How'd that?
Like, really, do you just, like, neglect so much that, you know, maybe at one point you're like, oh, she's sleeping, fuck it, and, you know, I don't want to bug her, and then you're finally like, oh, maybe she died, and you just, like, ignore it? Like, or do you just have, like, dementia,
this says,
you don't remember that she died?
This says it appears Bergmeier couldn't let go of her mother. This woman always had excuses as to where she might be as time went on. People just stopped asking. So, yeah. I mean, I guess no one will ever really know, but that's kind of what it seems like. Everyone's moved out, you know, it's lonely, mom's there, dead, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. She's just crazy and wanted company, kept her mom around.
Yeah.
That's all. All
right, you know what New Zealand's good for? What I've noticed lately?
Stories? News stories?
Like,
what?
Crazy news stories of killing babies and little kids. Like, New Zealand just does not give a fuck when it comes to children.
You want
to
move there?
Safe Kami Mommy should move there and fix that place. So, I got this one. This dude basically just kicked the literal shit out of a child to death. I would like to add.
All right.
He's gonna serve at least 17 years of a life imprisonment term. He's 23 years old, Ricky. He had been in a secret relationship with the kid's mother, Lila McGregor. He is related to Carl's father, gang member Carl Check, who is in jail for the murder of this 2-year-old. Was killed in a gang shooting. In the high court, Justice Joe Williams said Carl Jr. died when he was left alone with this dude. The first injuries, 2 broken ribs punctured the kid's lung. It happened when Carl wet himself while sleeping on a couch. The dude picked up the boy, swung him around, and bashed his ribs on the edge of a coffee table.
Damn.
The boy was put in the toilet and left there while Nagati Check played video games. After 5 or 10 minutes, the toddler emerged from the bathroom trailing toilet paper. He then kicked him in the stomach, sending the boy flying and causing severe internal injuries. I imagine like a Liu Kang kick, just like, just knocked the kid over.
Like, that sounds pretty
the
fucking
kid's
painful.
Too. Like, what are you doing?
Right?
Play your video games. Shit.
God, dude.
Just like bashing this. It was Mortal Kombat in this place and just bash the kid. And then he sends him flying. That caused some severe internal injuries. He stands up, kicks the boy even harder, ramming him against a wardrobe door, pushing the boy's pancreas basically right up into his spine and splitting it. A vein divided, and Carl was effectively dead when he reached the hospital.
Jesus.
At the sentencing, both sides agreed it was the kind of case for which the starting point was life imprisonment with a 17-year minimum to be served.
You think?
17-year minimum, though? Like, that seems so small
for,
like, just literally
brutally destroying
wiping
something.
The floor with this child, you know?
Like there is no regard for life there whatsoever.
No. Like, he was playing a video game that just, like, fucking, and the kid was like, hey, check this out. And he was like, hey, check this out.
Douche!
Fireball. Duh.
Dude, like, that's... Yeah, man.
And they say perhaps it would have been different if it was one blow in the heat of the moment instead of 3 separate assaults.
Yeah, that wasn't just like, you know, one time got upset, smacked the kid in the head. That was
like beat his fucking ass and then play some games and then beat his fucking ass again. These little people are at our mercy. We can so easily kill them. The 17-year minimum is there to remind us we cannot lose control around them. The consequences are so grave. And, of course, this guy had been caught in a twilight world of drugs and gangs that normalized stupid brutality to the point that violence was, quote, downright cool. Hey, heard you wipe the floor with a 2-year-old. Word. Pound it.
Totally cool.
Fucking totally
oh my God.
Cool. You're so cool.
I bet you his mom is still totally going to want to, like, have
I bet you guys are going to bone down, and then she can have your baby. Fuck it. You don't know what
then
kind
you
of
could
genes
kill
that,
that
kid had. No, that kid wasn't mine. Had bad genes. This one's going to be a beast, though.
Yeah, if it was mine, it wouldn't have died from that little shit.
I know. If it was mine, it would have had tiger blood rushing through it, and it would have bounced back and been like, give me some more, sir.
Or calluses from being kicked the shit out of its whole
life. I know,
right?
It grows back stronger than before because right? It's a werewolf. Fuck. You just kicked the shit out of a werewolf. Quote, how do you replace a life? The killing had ruined the lives of the family, led to the separation of the grandchildren, and ruined this guy's life as well. Well, you were the one that kind of did it. And he was a pretty big dude. Like, I don't know if you guys want to see a picture of the dude, peep that noise. Bad manners says Twilight World, glittery vampires. Maybe. You don't know. And how many eye picks is that tonight, Holla? I've been noticing.
Eye itches. I know. Got, like, eyelashes fucked up in my eyeball. Thank you.
I know. And then in Australia, we got a Melbourne gentleman. He told his girlfriend to hurry up and burn. After he stabbed her and set her on fire at a suburban gas station. So, hey, can you just hurry up and burn?
Yeah, please.
Can we get this over with and can you just burn?
No. No.
Can you just hurry up and burn already?
Can you please just, like, turn to ash now?
Yeah, I'm going to need 20 on 10 over there because she just will not burn, you know? Just what the fuck?
I'm
going to
need 20 on 10.
Which one? Oh, yeah, the one with the screaming woman halfway on fire.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That one's
I
mine.
I need to make her totally on fire.
Next to the red pinto. Thanks.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, this guy, he used a knife to threaten onlookers who tried to help her. She was 42 years old. Her body and clothes were on fire. As he paced around her, he was heard saying, burn, bitch, I hope you die. Let her burn in hell. Jesus. Hurry up and burn.
Okay.
This dude's 40 years old. The attack began, his name's Hopkins, when he got out of Miss Reed's car, refueled it, then got back inside and squirted her with the petrol nozzle. She screamed for help and sounded their car horn, but he stopped her from leaving through the driver's door. He then stabbed her in the neck with a knife, squirted more fuel over her, and used a cigarette lighter to light it.
Damn.
She crawled from the car, collapsed with her body and clothing on fire. He paced around her, brandishing a knife. He threatened others, trying to go for her aid for almost 3.5 minutes as she lay on the ground, burning and screaming for help. At one point, he held his knife close to his own throat and moved it in a cutthroat motion, shouting, "Fuck off!" He threatened to kill a second witness and hit his own chest as if stabbing himself, like this. Come on, mate! You want to get far enough, mate! You want... Come on!
Blah, 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 blah.
Hopkins was found by police seated on the steps of a church 200 meters from the gas station, wearing a bloodstained t-shirt and holding a knife. She
not
died.
Not trying to hide at all.
She was taken to the hospital because he was... I'm sorry. He was forced away by a witness who drove at him with his vehicle. Good thinking, guys. Allowing others to rush in and move her away from the car. She went to the hospital, then died.
Sucks.
Then he was found on the church, taken into custody after a two-hour standoff with police.
Damn.
He was treated for burns and stab wounds to his body and admitted to hospital staff he had taken... cannabis? Oh, fuck. He was high on cannabis. Oh, wait. He also had speed, ice, Viagra, testosterone, and alcohol within the last 24 hours. Woo! Man, I thought fucking weed made that fool go crazy. Shit.
No, he had a little bit of everything else.
Fuck, guys. Shit, man. That was close.
Yeah, I know.
That almost just totally tainted all of our beautiful... work.
God,
man, I am
crazy,
light.
Dude.
I am lightheaded.
Dude didn't give up, man. He was like, "Fuck y'all,
I'm out."
He like stood there and made sure she was like,
"Yeah,
dying."
Like people like trying to help him, and him just being like, "I fucking dare you."
Right. He's like, I want her to die. Don't you understand? And I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch her die.
Yeah, right.
And I don't want you to help her because I don't want her to live.
I mean, he gets a 10 on follow through, but
I gotta say, for sure.
His technique, a little public for my taste.
Yeah, a little too out there. He didn't try to hide at all. He didn't cover it up, no nothing.
You were at the AMPM there. Like,
yeah.
Open. Yeah.
I just covered this bitch with gas and I just set her on fire. Yeah, you see my face? I'm not wearing a mask. Oh, yeah, this is my family car I'm driving.
This red Pinto?
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus.
All right, and before we get out of here, just because this is a fucking, just one of the more pimp mug shots we've seen in a few months.
All right.
New Haven, Connecticut. This gentleman is in the hospital, and he's doing court later this month. After police said he stabbed someone while getting his hair cut.
I was going to say, they didn't finish it.
His name's David Davis, 21, of New Haven. He was sitting inside an apartment just before 12:30 getting a haircut when a man he had been arguing with approached him. Davis thought the other person was going to harm him, so he picked up a pair of scissors and slashed the other in the back.
Nice.
Patrol and the dogs.
You slashed him in the back, but he was coming at you because you thought he was going to harm you.
Get your fucking story straight.
How'd you slash him in the... You idiot.
He had a cut on the right side of his upper back, and he's being treated at the local hospital. He's expected to recover.
What'd you do, hug him?
I don't know. You're an idiot, but that is a rockin' fucking haircut, so.
Fuck yeah.
I wish I had a fro. Me and Mike from Rap and Roll were talking about that today, like.
I had a friend of mine.
Because Chad kind of has one, and then we were like, man, if I had one, I would rock it all the time. He's like, dude, it'd be out to here, like, just picked all nice. I was like, damn it, I wish I had a fro now.
I had a friend of mine.
A Matt fro.
Named Mike, yeah, he was this black kid I went to school with all the way from elementary school all the way to high school, okay?
They're called African Americans.
The kid never cut his hair, okay? From the time he was like 5 years old to the time the guy was 20. Never cut his fucking hair. And all year long, he would wear it in these long-ass fucking, these long-ass braids, you know, cornrows and shit. Well, at the end of the year, the last day of school of every year, he would undo the braids and pick out the fro. And it was this huge fucking fro, dude. Just ridiculous. So, yeah, I saw that.
I've been corrected, apparently. Bad Manners says, no, Matt, they're called niggers. Okay, I'm sorry. That's on you. Jesus Christ.
But, yeah, I don't know.
We're in Montana. We could say that. Hip.
Yeah. But, yeah, he picked out his fro at the last day of school every year. It was fucking... Last time I saw him, it was like fucking... Seriously, like, a good 2.5-3 feet out. Like, it was huge. Fucking beach ball, ridiculous size huge.
Just making people look at it.
And he was a little tiny guy, too. Like, he was a little guy. He was, like, smaller than you, you know, like, a little skinny.
Yeah, just a little guy.
Yeah, and this huge fro just
boom. Just massive.
Yeah.
Like, make room.
Seriously, ridiculous. I don't know, so...
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a super, super, super sweet slice. I've enjoyed my time with you all as usual. Bad Manners, to redeem himself completely, says, hey, man, call a spade a spade. You don't have to be black to be a nigger.
True that.
Email info at thejamhole.com. Thejamhole.com is our website. Go there. There's stuff. It's nice. Join the forums/forums. Check out the YouTube page. Follow us on Twitter. I got one. She's got one. We each have a pick of the day photo blog over at Posterous.
Mm-hmm.
Jamholedanny.posterous.com.
Mm-hmm.
And thejamhole.posterous.com. That's mine. You can check that out. So
cool.
Pretty sweet. Pretty sweet indeed.
Super sweet.
I will be hosting the Get Poetry Open Mic Poetry Slam this Sunday. So if you want to come down and watch me host this bad motherfucker, G-rated, I don't know about that. I'm going to just write poems about bad words and just... this Sunday, you may want to show up because it might be the last one we have.
Don't do that. She gets back. What happened?
I know. Well, Matt dropped the F-bomb about 58,000 times.
Right.
No, we will. It'll be fun, though. So definitely come down the Boiler Room if you're local Sunday. There's a Facebook page. I wrote about it on the latest show notes. So peep game, suckers. thejamhole.com/donate. Help us keep this show going. The P.O. Box is due.
Yep.
If you guys, someone wants to pay that, that would be sweet.
And how much is that?
It's like $22 for half a year or $44 for the whole year. I usually try to get it for the year. So if you guys want to help out with that, we appreciate it. We are broke right now until we get our taxes back. So
yes.
I literally have no money for smokes. So
it sucks. And I just spent the rest of our money on dinner. So
right, which you should really start cooking right now. Thank you, Dana. You guys can text me if you want, 406-848-1739. Leave a message for the show, like I said, 406-204-4687. And we'll see you guys on Friday.
Goodbye.
Win.
You are listening to The Jam Hole. The Jam, The Jam, The Jam Hole.com.